All right. Let's get into the Word this morning. Are you ready? Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. And I thank You, Lord, that every heart will be open and receptive to Your Word and to Your truth this morning. In the name of Jesus, we thank You and we praise You for it. Father, give me utterance. Help me to say these things. Help me to say what You've given me to say. Help me to communicate it in the way that You've given it to me. And again, I pray for every heart, for everyone listening, Lord, that we would all receive what You have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And we are not on YouTube today. We've got a new camera, but I wasn't able to get it set up exactly just right. So rather than try to worry about it and get out of the anointing, I just said, okay, we'll get the audio up. So you'll be hearing, you can go on our podcast and hear the audio that'll be available in a couple of days here, is usually when we get that up. But open your Bibles to Hebrews 12 this morning. Hebrews 12 and verse 25 is where we're going to start. He says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." I want to talk to you about this phrase in verse 28. He says, "We are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken." Amen. Yes, praise God. Thank you. Yes. Amen. The New Living Bible says, "Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe." See, the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, or what He calls here a holy fear. And that doesn't mean that we're afraid of God. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they went and hid from God, didn't they? Yeah. God went calling for them in the garden in the cool of the day. And He said, "Adam, where are you?" And he said, I'm over here behind the bushes, Lord. I'm hiding. You know, I was naked. I was ashamed." You know, and so it's not that kind of fear where we're hiding from God. It's not the kind of fear where Jesus talked about in John chapter 3. He said people that do iniquity, people that live in sin, they do not come to the light because they're afraid their deeds will be exposed. It's not that kind of fear. We know that through the grace of Jesus Christ, through His blood, that He's washed away our sin, that He's cleansed us from our shame. And so this holy fear, this fear of the Lord, is a respect for Him. It's a recognition that He is God and we're not. It's a recognition that our lives belong to Him. It's a recognition that He made us for His pleasure and for His glory. That's what He's talking about. That's what this holy fear and awe is. And He says, because we're receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, He said, let's have grace so that we can serve God with this and worship Him with holy fear and awe. The Message Bible says it this way: do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. Do you see what we've got? We've got an unshakable kingdom. Yes. Glory to God. We are heirs of an unshakable kingdom. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe it would be accurate in describing 2020 as the year in which things are being shaken. Can you agree with me on that? Now, I'm not saying that God sent the coronavirus, or that He sent the lockdowns, or the rioting, or the upheaval in our nation, or the conflict in our election. I don't believe that God authored any of that. But in the midst of that, God is working. In the midst of all this, God is working. God knew it was coming. God knew it would happen. And in the midst of it, God is working, and it's a shaking that's taking place. And God says, I'm going to shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Why? Why did He say He would do that? He said He would do it to remove the things that were made, the natural things, the temporal things, so that what is eternal may remain. Amen? Amen. And it's interesting that He uses this word shaking. Because when we think of shaking, we think of an earthquake, don't we? Yes. Has anyone ever been in an earthquake? Some of you have. Amen. I mean, some of you have been from California, so you have. I know you have. But, I'm here in Georgia. The last one that I remember was about 15 years ago, where the bedposts rattled a little bit. Remember that? 5:30 in the morning, and I heard this. And I thought, what was that? And realized the bedposts rattled, and I didn't realize till afterward. One of our neighbors called us and said, "Hey, I think there's somebody on my roof." And we said, no, it was just an earthquake. You know, nobody was on your roof. It was an earthquake. That's what you were hearing. And I think it was centered over around somewhere around Rome or over that Rome, Georgia, or that way. But we felt it all the way over here in northeast Georgia. But I've never been like Mary or Marissa or some of these folks in California, where the ground is moving. That's got to be the worst feeling. That's got to be the most fearful feeling, because if you're in an earthquake like that, the one word that you can use is uncertain. Uncertain. Am I going to live? Is this going to stop? And it's also a sense of being totally out of control, right? I mean, you've never felt out of control. I mean, you can't. There's nothing you can hold on to. Everything's shaking, and it's an incredible sense of being out of control. Well, in a lot of ways, 2020 has been like that. It's like, you know, everything's locking down. This is happening, that, and you feel out of control. And you feel, when is this going to end? They said 2 weeks, and then they said 6 months, and now they're saying this. And, you know, the uncertainty and the out of control, and when they're going to get toilet paper back in the store. Remember that? In some places, that's trying to come back around, but in Jesus' name, we're not going to have that. Aren't we? All right. Now, the truth is, for us as believers, we live in the world. It's so nice to be down here this morning. I can't do that with the camera there, so I like being down here. I promise not to spit on you, too. All right. We, as believers, the Word says we live in the world, but we are not of the world. That is a great truth that we must remember. We're in this world, all right, but we are not of the world. The Bible says in Philippians that our citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah. We're citizens of heaven. That's so easy, since we live in this physical world, to get caught up in that and to forget that we're citizens of heaven and to forget that we're citizens of another kingdom. Yeah. But we are. Amen. We are citizens of another kingdom. Amen. And we can't forget that. Right. Hallelujah. We must remember, hey, we're in a kingdom that can't be shaken. The world may be shaking, situations, circumstances, nations may be shaking, there may be upheaval, but glory to God, we are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. And so Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Yeah, we're all, you know, it was a sad day, the day that I realized I could not dunk anymore. I used to could dunk, 10-foot goal. I could get that far over the rim, y'all. Boom. I could do it. But the day came when I could not dunk anymore. I'm good to touch the net now. Amen. Our outward man is decaying. Our outward man is perishing. That doesn't mean you have to be sick. That means you can still be healthy and well, but I mean we're getting older, right? Amen. Gravity is at work. All right. All right. Though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here's the key, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now that sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? We look at what is not seen. How is that possible? It's possible by faith. It's possible by looking through the eyes. You don't only have eyes right here. You have eyes in your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. You have eyes, and if you'll tune into your spirit, you can see with the eyes of your spirit. And you can see into the unseen realm. And he says the way we're going to be successful, the way we're going to stand, the way we're going to give a bold and powerful witness of the Lord Jesus to our generation is to look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Hallelujah. Why? For the things which are seen are temporary. They're subject to change. What we can see, what you see, and that's another sad thing. The older I get, the more nostalgic I get. How about you? You know, the good old days, you know. And you long for that, and you think, see, look, in 20 years, today is going to be the good old days. So you might as well absorb it, enjoy it all right now. Amen. Just enjoy it right now. Amen. Don't miss it. Amen. Enjoy it right now. Praise God. All right. So everything's changing. I mean, just look around. I mean, downtown Cumming now, where the county courthouse is. That used to be a row. That was my favorite shops were there. My favorite. There was Super D. There was Parsons. There was Jackson 5 and 10. You know, what else was there? Benjamin Franklin. Oh, no, that wasn't. Ben Franklin never was on the square there. But you're a move-in. You're from Doraville. You're not. You can't enter in this conversation. I'm probably the only one besides my brother. And he left town when he was pretty young. But did you grow up here in Cumming? Okay, so you remember, and then where the county administration building is, there was a Rexall drugstore. Okay, Rexall drugstore was there. Okay, and then Billy Howell Ford was right, or that was actually it was before that it was Otwell Ford. It's now Billy Howell Ford, but Otwell Ford, right, Ford dealership right on the square. Can you imagine that? Yeah, but it was, and so but that's all changed now. That's all gone. You can hardly remember. What did this used to look like 30, 40 years ago? Everything's changing. It's temporary. The things that are seen are temporary. They're subject to change. But the things that are not seen are eternal and unshakable. Glory to God. Moses understood that. In the Old Testament even, Moses understood that you could live for and live in an unshakable eternal kingdom. Now look at what the scripture says about him. In verse 24, you know the story of Moses. He was Hebrew born, and it was a time when Pharaoh had issued an edict that all the boy children were to be killed because he saw how the Israelites were multiplying and growing and becoming strong. He said they're going to take over the nation, so they started slaughtering all the babies, all the newborn babies. He started killing them. All right. Sounds like what the devil's trying to do today through abortion, doesn't it? That's a demonic, diabolical, horrible work of the devil from past to now. And so they were killing all the male children that were born. And so Moses' parents devised a plan where they would save him alive. And they kept him for 3 months. And when they couldn't hide him any longer because he was growing, they put him in that little basket and floated him down the river. And Pharaoh's daughter discovered him and adopted and raised him as her own son. So he was raised in Pharaoh's household. And the Bible talks about that in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured how? As seeing him who is invisible. There it is again. As seeing him who is invisible. So he was heir. Moses, think about this. Moses was heir to the richest, most powerful kingdom in the world at that time, the Egyptian kingdom. But the Bible says here that he refused that kingdom. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, even though he knew it would meant he would it meant that he would have to suffer persecution. He had it made. He had position. He could have relied. He had it comfortable. He had power, and he had it made. But he refused that. Why? Because he could see past. He saw that kingdom, and he said, "You know, this kingdom is going to be dust one day. This kingdom is going to pass away one day." But his mother and daddy had taught him from the well, they didn't have the written word of God yet, because Moses was the one that wrote it down. But they had the oral tradition that had passed down from Adam, that had passed down from Seth, that had passed down from Abraham, that had passed down from Isaac and Jacob, and through the generations, and told them about the living God, about the true God, about the one God who created everything. And he knew about that God. And he said, "You know, I'm going to choose that kingdom. I'm going to choose to be a part of that kingdom." And he did. He did. He chose that kingdom. And he endured, the Bible says, because he was able to see him who is invisible. So point number one today, point number one is this. Did I give you that already? Oh, okay. Point number one, I should have told you a long time ago. The shaking is the removing of the temporal so that the eternal may remain. The shaking that's going on, God says, "I'm going to shake not only the earth, but also heaven." So the shaking that's going on is the removal of the temporal so that the eternal may remain. Amen. And then point number two then is this. In order to be unshakable, we have to see the invisible. In order to be unshakable, we have to see the invisible. Praise God. Let me say that one more time. In order to be unshakable, we have to see the invisible. See, we have to keep our eyes on what God has said and not be moved by what we see with our physical eyes. I really would recommend you right now to turn off the news. That besides proving themselves to be so corrupt, I'm not talking about, you know, I think it's safe to watch the weather. All right. And some of the local news may be, you know, if you want to keep up, still a lot of that is just bad news. They never tell much good news, do they? Every once in a while. But most of the time it's bad news, isn't it? All right. And so I would recommend turn off the news. Amen. That's what we talked about last Sunday, that Sister Billy Brim, as they were praying for the nation and praying about the election, she prayed out in the Spirit, as she's praying in other tongues. A person that understood Arabic heard her speaking in Arabic where she was praying out, "Don't listen to the news. Don't listen to it." Amen. And so guard that. Jesus said it this way. He said, "Take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear." If we're going to see the invisible, if we're going to keep our eyes on what God has said, then we've got to not walk by what we see. The Bible says also we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so we are receiving this kingdom that can't be shaken. Let's talk about some of the characteristics of this kingdom. Number one is this. It's an eternal kingdom. Amen. This is part two. You had one and two in part one, so this is part two. Part two. I may start looking like a vampire. I was itching there, and I think I scratched that place I cut. So just if I start looking like a vampire, I don't want toilet paper on the side of my face, so I'll pass. So it won't bleed much. All right. All right. What are the characteristics of this kingdom? Number one, it is eternal. It is eternal, and it will never end. Look at Luke chapter 1. This kingdom that we're receiving, this unshakable kingdom, it's eternal, and it will never end. Verse 31, this is the angel speaking to Mary. The angel Gabriel was sent to her to let her know what God's great plan was of bringing a Savior into the world through her cooperation. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. We're in that kingdom. We've been delivered. The Bible says God has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Hallelujah.
So we're in this kingdom that there will be no end. Hallelujah. In Daniel had a, or King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel interpreted the dream. And this is part of the interpretation of the dream. And we're just going to read one verse here in Daniel 2:44. It says, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms." Talking about the world kingdoms beginning from Babylon and going through Persia and going through Greece and going through Rome. All the world kingdoms, that was represented in a great statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw. But he, in the dream, he also saw a stone that was cut out without hands. And a stone came and hit this statue in the feet, and the statue fell and crumbled and became dust. And the wind came and blew the dust, and there was no trace left of those kingdoms. But this stone, which represents the Lord Jesus and his kingdom and the kingdom we're a part of, the Bible says that this stone grew and filled the earth until it became a great mountain.
Amen.
And that's our kingdom.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And then in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has a vision and a revelation. And the angel is revealing to him what's going to happen in the last days, talking about the rise of the Antichrist. This is yet to come. This is in our future, and it may not be too many years down the road. And Daniel, because that spirit of Antichrist, John said, it's already at work in the world. And the church is a restraining force right now. Amen. John 7:25, he, talking about the Antichrist, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. Well, I see that spirit of Antichrist operating now. When people speak in pompous words against God, mocking and defiant words against the Word of God. Amen. We see it. We see it all the time, don't we? He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. In other words, this Antichrist, when he does come to power, he will have power to persecute and to put to death the people of God for a 3.5-year period. It's like, see, Jesus, the devil couldn't kill Jesus, right? Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus said, "Nobody takes my life from me, but I lay it down." There came a time where the divine protection that Jesus walked in, it was time to lay that aside because it was time for him to die. And there is divine protection for the church. There's divine protection for the people of God. But there'll be a time in the plan of God where God's going to say, "Okay, in my plan, I have to pull aside this divine protection, and the saints of God, the people of God, will be executed by this Antichrist." It says the saints will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time, 3.5-year period there, the last half of the 7-year tribulation. But that's not the end of the story. But the court shall be seated. I'm telling you, there's a court higher than the Supreme Court. There's a court higher than whatever court there may be in any country, and that's the court of heaven. And that's what this is talking about. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion, talking about the Antichrist, to consume and destroy it forever. Verse 27, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. That's us. That's every believer. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the kingdom that we're receiving, brothers and sisters. This is the kingdom that's unshakable. It is an eternal kingdom. It is an everlasting kingdom. Amen? And then number two, second characteristic about this kingdom, this kingdom is within you. It's not just outward. It's not just future. The kingdom that we're talking about is not just when Jesus comes back to reign on the earth. This kingdom is in you and me right now. Woo! Glory to God. Luke 17, 20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. Hallelujah. This kingdom, we are in the kingdom, but the kingdom is in us. The kingdom is in us. And it's an unshakable kingdom. You have the unshakable kingdom of God living in you. Therefore, your life can be unshakable. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Number three, this kingdom is filled with righteousness and peace and joy. Look at this, Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what is it? But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This kingdom of God that's within us is righteousness. And what is righteousness? It's a gift. Hallelujah. What is this peace? It's a gift. Jesus said this in John 14, 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace. Think, did you notice that? Did you catch that when you've read that verse before? Jesus has not just given us some, you know, some secondhand leftover knockoff, you know, carbon copy peace. He says, my peace I give you. The very same peace that Jesus walked in. He said, you know what? I'm going to give that to you. Whew. I'm giving that to you. Why? How can he do that? Well, when he comes to live in you, he brings his peace. He brings his kingdom. Amen. The kingdom is in you. And in that kingdom is peace. Righteousness and peace. Hallelujah. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do I give to you? How does the world give? The world can only give a temporary peace. The world can only give peace if the circumstances and the conditions are right. But the peace Jesus gives us is independent of circumstances. That's why it's called the peace that passes understanding. Amen? Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That sounds to me a lot like unshakable. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Let not your heart be troubled. That means I can be unshakable. Yeah. Why? Because I'm in a kingdom. Because I have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And the kingdom that cannot be shaken lives in me. And it's righteousness. And it's peace. And it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. The fourth characteristic of this kingdom is that there's power and authority over disease and demons in this kingdom. There is power and authority over disease and demons in this kingdom. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over a few demons. What? Did I misquote that? Did I read the reverse standard? Okay. Over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach what? The what? The kingdom of God. He gave them authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he said, now go proclaim. This is the kingdom of God. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And then later on, he tells them, he sends out, that was the 12 that he sent out. Later, he sends out 70 more. And he tells them, Luke 10, verse 9, and he says, and heal the sick there and say to them, when the sick are getting healed, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. This is how the kingdom operates. This is what happens with the kingdom of God. Disease has to leave. Sickness has to leave. Healing has to flow. That's what's in this kingdom. In the kingdom of God, in this kingdom, there's power, there's authority over sickness and disease and over demons. Jesus said this in Matthew 12, 28, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Praise God. So in this kingdom that we're in, that we're a part of, there's power and authority over demons and over disease. We have it. We can walk in it. Amen? Glory to God. Reed, come on back up. I got carried away here. Should have had you up already. One more quick point here. One more quick point this morning. I want us to go back. In the writer of Hebrews, where we first read today, is quoting from the Old Testament. Remember, we first read, let me go back and get the original. In Hebrews, he says, he has promised in verse 26, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Okay? So where did he say that? Where did he promise that? Well, he promised that in the book of Haggai. So let's go back. Let's go on down to Haggai now, Grayson. In Haggai chapter 2, let's see. I'm not sure if this is not quite the same. New American Standard, and that's the American Standard. So it may be a little different. So just listen. I'm going to read it. I especially wanted you to hear it in the New American Standard. So I don't think we had that one available, so it may not be quite the same on the screen. But listen. He says, "For this is what the Lord..." This, oh, it does. Okay, it is right. Okay. "For this is what the Lord of armies says. Once more, in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also, and the dry land." So this is where he first said it, is in the book of Haggai. All right. And then he says this, I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations. That's why it reads this way, only that I found in the New American Standard here. They will come. When God says, when this shaking happens, God says one thing that's going to be shaken loose is the wealth of the nations. The wealth of the nation. You know, it's kind of funny. You know, when the mafia, you know, if any of the mafia movies or mafia stories that you've ever seen or heard about, you know, they say they come to a business and they say they're going to shake you down. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You've heard that term, a shakedown. What does that mean? They're going to say, here, please keep protecting my place. I'll pay you. That's a shakedown. They get money out of them. They shake them down. God is the ultimate shakedown artist. He said, I'm going to shake all the nations. And they will come with the wealth of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of armies. Now what house is he talking about there? Well, they were rebuilding the temple. The temple of Solomon had been destroyed. They'd gone into captivity. Now Cyrus has issued a decree that the Jews can go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And they're rebuilding the temple and they're discouraged because it looks like nothing's happening. And he even said, the prophet even said, does any of you remember this temple in its former glory? Some of them survived that 70 years as kids. They saw the old temple and how glorious it was. And now here they were trying to rebuild it. And it said, this seems like nothing. But God says, you wait, you watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to shake the nations. Now, that's prophetic of the church age. The early church, the book of Acts, that's the former house. We are the latter house. We are the church in the last days. And this church of the last days, God says, I'm going to shake all the nations and the wealth, and they will come with the wealth of all nations, and I'll fill this house with glory, says the Lord of armies. And then he says in the next verse, verse 8, the silver is mine, by the way. God just makes it real clear. Okay, we're just going to make this clear. The silver doesn't belong to the world. Silver doesn't belong to Bill Gates. Silver doesn't belong to Mark Zuckerberg. Silver doesn't belong to Google. Silver doesn't belong to Jeff Bezos. I mean, I don't begrudge them earning a living. But there's a global elite that's trying to control all the wealth, and it will eventually manifest in the Antichrist. A global elite trying to control the wealth, trying to control the nations. And that's really what is going on in our nation right now. This battle is not about Republican or Democrat. This battle is about whether or not a global elite will control this nation. And our nation will surrender its sovereignty. I pray that that's not going to happen. I believe in Jesus' name that won't happen. That this nation will fulfill its divine destiny. Amen? It's about whether or not we'll continue to be a free nation, fulfilling our destiny that was ordained by God through the pilgrims. 400 years ago this month, 400 years ago this month, the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock and they made a declaration. They said these words, "In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the lost subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, having undertaken for the glory of God an advancement of the Christian faith." That's why they came here. That was the Mayflower Compact. They made a covenant with God. And I believe God still sees that and honors that covenant. And I believe this nation will continue to be for the advancement of the Christian faith. That's why we need to pray, we need to stand, we need to believe for God's will to be done in our nation. Amen? But what God said He's going to do with the folks that are trying to control the wealth, they're trying to control the world by controlling the wealth. God says, "I'm going to shake it loose. I'm going to shake it loose. And the wealth is going to come into the hands." He said, "The silver's mine. The silver's mine. The gold is mine," says the Lord. "And it's going to come into the hands of His people. It's going to come into the hands of the people of God that will use it for the purposes of God and for the glory of God and for the advancement of the gospel in all the world." Hallelujah. I believe that. We are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. Fear not. Let not your heart be troubled. Be not afraid. God is on the throne. Jesus is working. Amen. God is working. Even when we don't see it, He's working. Even when we don't feel it, He's working. He never stops working. He never stops working. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Father.